In the news this past week, or couple of weeks, we've certainly had a number of different things. If we just turn over to Revelation 17, Revelation chapter 17, and just remind ourselves of something over here in Revelation 17. It says, "And there came one of these seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come and hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." And those many waters in verse 15 are clearly explained as the people of the earth. It says, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And we're looking at some a religious organization that actually cavorts with the kings of the earth, with the political systems of this earth. "So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness. I saw a woman," which is always, or tends to be, portrayed as a church. And or churches tend to be portrayed as a woman. And it says here, "A woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast." It's the Holy Roman Empire. And it says, "Full of names of blasphemies, having seven heads and ten horns." And we can go back to Revelation 13 and find this. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of a fornication," of what she's doing. In other words, this consorting with the governments of this world, with the people of this, not the people of this world, but the government specifically. "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great." I want you to make notice of that. It is Mystery Babylon the Great. It's not just Babylon the Great, it's a mystery religion. And the reason I say that is that in the paper, there's an article here from yesterday's paper, which says the Pope stirs up the evolution debate. And it says the Pope has made his first comment on evolution, saying God alone cannot provide an explanation for the variety of the life on earth. It would not depend on faith alone to explain the whole picture. I would not depend on faith alone to explain the whole picture, Benedict said, according to a new book called Creation and Evolution, published in Germany. The comments run counter to suggestions that the Pope had rejected John Paul II's recognition that Darwinism was more than a hypothesis and had backed the theory of intelligent design, which insists that living organisms are so complex and varied that they must have been created by a higher designer. So what we're looking at is we're looking at something like this that you find in the news, and you think, well, how can that be the case when you see certain other things that take place that comes from the same source? And you need to understand that when we're looking at this final configuration, the religious configuration of the Holy Roman Empire, you're not looking at something which worships the Creator God. You're looking at something which actually is a mystery religion. It looks, God is inexplicable. It's regarded as a trinity. And when we're looking at various things that have taken place, then in this last week or two, it certainly makes interesting reading, but it also gives us a little bit more information. Here on, this is today's paper, it's apparently the Catholics flocked to the Vatican for the Pope's 80th birthday, and he's saying that after a quiet and cautious start, major reforms are on the way. After two cautious and successful years in which he has surprised critics by writing about God's love rather than raging against contraception and homosexuality, the Pope is preparing a series of reforms of the Catholic Church. Just how far he will go remains to be seen, but there are many nervous bishops at the moment, especially in this country. And he goes on the end of the article. He says, "Last month, the Pope issued a magnificently well-written document, which was ignored by the English bishops, which contained explicit instructions about the greater use of Latin and plain chant. Soon, liberal bishops in Europe and America could find their loyalty really put to the test. Benedict is rumoured to be on the verge of removing restrictions on the celebration of the ancient Tridentine rite, which liberals see as elitist. And for 2 years, Catholics have wondered what sort of papacy this will turn out to be, and now they're about to find out." So, it is moving in a certain direction, and it is along this mystery type of religion. When we're looking at other articles, this is from Monday, April the 9th, right on the front page, it says, "Fury as the bishops back Iran." And it says, "The Roman Catholic bishop who oversees the armed forces has provoked fury by praising the Iranian leadership for its forgiveness and act of mercy in freeing the 15 British sailors and the Marines last week." So there is a move, if you like, where the Roman Catholic bishops are actually, if you like, siding with Iran to some degree. It says, the bishops of the forces, the Right Reverend Tom Burns, said that the religious beliefs of the Iranians had played a large part in their decision to release the hostages after holding them for more than 2 weeks. He goes on, he says, but his comments were angry, it goes on, it says, his comments were angrily denounced yesterday by politicians and soldiers as naive and wishful thinking for failing to recognise the illegality of Tehran's actions. But what in fact is happening is that they're looking at things in two totally different ways. The West on one side is looking at it purely from the technicalities, from the fact that it was illegal as far as the abduction of the hostages and whether in fact, you know, politically it's going to be expedient. But this is not the way in which the bishop and also the Pope as well, because it does say within that same paper, it said, there was another article that said the Pope's address laments the lack of progress in Iraq. It says, on Christians' most joyful feast day, Pope Benedict XVI lamented that nothing positive is happening in Iraq. In the Middle East, besides some signs of hope in the dialogue between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, nothing positive comes from Iraq, torn apart by continual slaughter as the civil population flees, said the Pope in his traditional Easter message before 30,000 pilgrims in St. Peter's Square. And when we read what it says here about the way in which the bishops are actually backing Iran, and remember it's Catholic bishops predominantly we're looking at, it says, in this same article, it says, this might seem puzzling, said the bishop, but it had to be seen in the context of the Iranian belief that Britain had violated the territorial waters. So, if that is the case, they are putting forward, then by their own standards, the standard enshrined in their religion, they have then chosen to put their faith into action to resolve the situation, said the bishop. You see the different view. You've got one view which is the military view, which is, okay, we're in this battle against the Iranians and the kind of propaganda war and all the rest of it. And how, in fact, the Iranians have got the upper hand, we mustn't therefore do anything to, we must do something to counter that. But that's not the way that the Catholic bishops look at things. It says, faith in a forgiving God has been exemplified in action by their good deeds. They are offering to release the sailors and marines, not just as a result of diplomacy, but also as an act of mercy in accordance with their religion. The focus is going again on religion. And again, we shake our heads in the West, because we have been indoctrinated in the Western view. But the Catholic view is very similar to the Iranian view, where the religion plays a huge part. And it's something that the West cannot understand. It doesn't understand. And it's good right as well, because it's a mystery religion. And again, how do you actually join all the dots? It goes on here, it says, all nations form one community. We come from the one God who created us and will return to the one God as our common destiny. Now notice that. It is this ecumenical, all-embracing type of movement. It is trying to bring in all the portions, all the areas, including different religions. It says, Bishop Nazir Ali said the Iranians had scored something of a coup by appealing to their religious traditions in freeing the hostages. In sharp contrast, Britain had failed to refer to any higher values. And that's the problem. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing continually that, yes, the thing that has the higher values there is, Iraq, and it is the nations that actually trust in Islam, and it also, within the Western world, it is the Catholic Church, and it is the Catholic-dominated areas that have any kind of morality that, you know, of any real description. We need to understand, if you turn back to, you know, keep a hand in Revelation 17, turn back to Revelation 13. Here in Revelation 13, we're looking here at the Roman, or you're looking at the Babylonian system that then transfers across into the Holy Roman Empire, the religious system. And remember, you're looking at church and state, so you've got a beast here as well. But in verse 11 it says, I behold another beast, so here's the political side of the religious, of the Vatican, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So we're looking at a Holy Roman Empire, And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So there is going to be this miracle-working power that is we're yet to see coming onto this earth. And it deceives those that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth. So this is the reason why the miracles take place, is that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. You've got to resurrect the Roman Empire, resurrect the Holy Roman Empire again. And he had power to give life to that image of the beast, and that it may speak and cause as many that would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It actually has some teeth behind it. And he caused all, small, great, rich and poor, to receive the mark of the beast. And so that is what we're looking at. When we're looking at the way in which the Pope actually attacks the Western world in many ways, there's another article that appeared here, it's actually out of the Vatican, and it said, the Pope attacks the Berlin Declaration. Here it says, Pope Benedict XVI has sharply criticised the Berlin Declaration, in which the EU leaders promise to press ahead with the defunct EU Constitution. And you say, well, why? Because surely the EU Constitution would be something supporting the EU. Is that not something that they want? Well, no, because again, what is the type of organisation that does that constitution actually bring into being? It says, addressing a meeting of European bishops, the Pope criticised the fact that the EU intended to sign its new constitutional treaty with no reference to the Christian religion. The Pope expressed grave concern that the demographic collapse in Europe implied that Europe was travelling along a road that could lead to its disappearance from history. In other words, in historical terms, it's going down a road that in fact it is going nowhere. That's what he's saying. And he said that it was a symptom of Europe, quote, losing trust in its own future. He said that the signature of the Treaty of Rome 50 years previously had been, quote, an important step for Europe, and that since then Europe's, quote, two lungs, John Paul II's phrase for the East and the West, and remember, you've got two legs of the beast, the image in Daniel, that had now been reunited. However, he said that one often had the impression that, quote, various chapters of the European project have been written without adequately keeping in mind the expectations of the citizens. He went on, it clearly emerges from all this that one cannot think of building an authentic common European home while overlooking the very identity of the peoples of our continent. He, of course, said that Europe should recognise Christianity in its constitutional documents, but also said that the EU, which claims to represent universal values, often behaved as if there was no universal values at all. He asked, quote, does not this remarkable form of apostasy from itself, even before apostasy from God, perhaps induce it to doubt its very identity? So it's looking at, the Catholic Church is looking at Europe and seeing the direction which Europe is going, which is in a Western direction, and yet they recognise very clearly that no, that is not the direction it needs to go. Prophetically, when we look at the prophecies, certainly that is not the direction that Europe is eventually going to go, because there's going to be a religious element in there. If we go back to Revelation 17, however, we must be aware that as we're watching these things take place, and we're watching this commentary coming out of the Vatican on various issues of the world, that the alliance that will be made between the Vatican and Europe, ultimately, is not going to be a strong one. Not only will Europe itself be partly strong and partly broken, which you find over the toes and the feet of Daniel, but also this actual unity between the Pope and the political system, the Holy Roman Empire, is also going to be, you know, it's going to be quite loose. Because when you look here in Revelation 17, it says verse 12, and the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings for a very short time, 1 hour with the beast. This is a very, very short time. These have one mind and give their power and strength to the beast. They'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So they're going to last right to the end time, to when Christ returns. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And notice what it says here. He's talking about the actual identity of a people of our continent. They are in control of the people's minds on the continent, and therefore the political system has got to therefore kowtow to them. But it says, and the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And it gives the time where in Revelation 18, that the merchants will stand afar, and the whole thing will be burning. And it seems to be that the beast's power will actually turn on the religious element within that Holy Roman Empire. So this alliance that they will have is a very short one. It's like a whore. It's like a whore. And so when we see these various articles, and you see something that talks about the Catholic Church accepting evolution, realize that this is not the Church that accepts the true God. It's not the true Creator God. It's a mystery religion. It's a mystery religion of an inexplicable Trinity, which is totally an enigma. And yet this is what they worship. It is not worshipping the Creator God. It's an inexplicable thing. And the various things, when you see it siding with the Iranian side, you see the ecumenical movement, the idea of embracing all peoples, all nations, and they're all becoming under this, they'll be deceived by the beast and also the false prophet that will be there with them. And yet even that union is going to be factious. So as we see the things that are taking place right now within the news, do put it into prophecy. Do put it into what, in fact, is prophesied for this world, because only by doing that do we actually make sense of it all.